At the beginning of Revelation, when the Prophet became a prophet and he knew he had to deliver this message to the masses, he cried out, I'm sure we're all very familiar with the story, Wa sabaha, woe to a dreadful morning. It's like sounding the alarm. And all the people gathered, all various tribes came together, and he asked, Ara'aytum law akhbartukum anna al-adwa yusabbihukum aw yumassikum ama kuntum tusaddiquni? He said, if I told you that an enemy is going to attack you in the morning or the evening, would you believe me? And they of course said, Bala, absolutely, of course. Fa inni nadhirun lakum bayna yadayya 'adhabin shadid. So then he said, I am indeed a warner to you in face of a terrible punishment. And we all know that the moment they understood that this was a religious message about the purpose of life, about the afterlife, about Allah's punishment, the moment that reality settled in, the very first person to react was his own uncle, as we all know, Abu Lahab, and he said, what? He said, تَبَّلْ لَكَ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. He said, may you be cursed. Is this why you gathered us, wasting our time with this nonsense? And because the Prophet ﷺ is too polite to respond to his uncle in public, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him with the ayat of تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. The reason I mention this story is because there is a very valuable lesson in it. Islam began as something controversial. Islam began as something controversial, and it remained controversial. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Islam began as something strange and it will return as it began as something strange. So glad tidings to the stranger. What is this hadith telling you? You have to embrace and accept the fact that our deen is going to make certain people uncomfortable. We're going to have to deal with controversy. We are going to have to address, whether it be within ourselves or to the outside world, things that get uncomfortable. Unfortunately, there is this idea among some Muslims. They think to themselves, if I just conform enough, if I just avoid controversies, then finally they'll accept me. Then finally I can go under the radar and just live a peaceful, happy life. Wrong. They'll just move the goalpost and declare new things controversial. That's the way it's going to be. As Allah Ta'ala said, not because I say so, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Never will you find that the Jews and the Christians will approve of you until you follow their religion. This is the fact, that it doesn't matter where we live, as long as there are disbelievers around us, they will not approve. There will always be certain things that are controversial, that are uncomfortable, and that you have to ask yourself, am I willing to address it, or will I keep on pretending that they don't exist, try to brush it under the rug? What does this mean that they want you to follow them? Follow could mean they want you to become like them, become Jewish, Christian, whatever the case is. They want you to convert to their religion. But there's another possibility. Another possibility is they want you to follow them, meaning go ahead and remain Muslim. That's fine. But you have to be as malleable as we are. Right? Every other religion, every few years, when something new comes up, every other religion conforms. Everybody knows a few years ago, this idea, let's say, for example, gay marriage, just as a simple example. Everybody said it was declared universally something wrong, and then, oh, now people want it, and so they just go along with it. And the only ones that hold on to their deen are who? The Muslims. And they say, why can't you follow us? Follow us in our religion? No, you can stay your religion, but you have to be as malleable as we are. Just one example. And there's so many examples now, they say men can get pregnant, I don't know, whatever. All these different concepts that they have out there. And they say, you have to conform, you have to conform. And other religions, they may jump right in and conform. So the question is, are we going to simply conform? Or is it that only Islam is holding on and saying, no, we actually stick to our principles? I firmly believe that it is my job to equip everybody, with the tools necessary to defend their Islam. I do believe that's my job. And if I fail at that, then I know it burns me and it bothers me. Why am I not addressing these controversial, necessary topics so that anybody can go out and defend themselves, defend their deen, and always come out on top? Unfortunately, many people tell me amongst this community, and by the way, not the board members, alhamdulillah, the board members, they let me say what I want to say, mashallah, tabarakallah. So, but no, there are other people that they come up to me, and mashallah, they're well-intended. I'm not trying to attack anybody. I know they're well-intended. But they say, listen, we don't like when you talk about anything controversial. And my question usually is, okay, which part? What did I say? What part of it is wrong? And the answer is, oh, well, the people that don't like it, they don't actually listen to what you have to say. They just don't like the fact that you talk about certain topics. So they didn't, it's not even something specific. They're like, you know, okay, maybe I can work on it. You know, constructive criticism, I'd be happy to address it. No, it's just, no, we just don't like it in general. Just the whole concept. Sometimes the suggestion comes, why can't he be more like Sheikh so-and-so, somebody else? In those instances, please, I ask you to ask that individual, do you even attend Sheikh so-and-so, that other Sheikh? Do you attend his halaqas? Do you go to his classes? Do you watch him online? Because if the answer is no, then essentially what the person is saying is, why can't Sheikh A, who I ignore, be more like Sheikh B, who I also ignore? I mean, subhanAllah, at a certain point, this becomes a little bit ridiculous. But anyway, I digress. Brothers and sisters, if my job is to help you defend your Islam, we have to ask the question, defend from what? It's not as if non-Muslims are going to ask you softball questions. They're not going to ask you easy questions. You're not going to have non-Muslims coming up to you and saying, why is it that your God mandated charity, zakah? And then you could comfortably respond, oh, to take care of the poor. And they say, wow, that's a great answer. Okay, have a nice day. It doesn't work like that. They're going to try to attack specifically anything that you find awkward, embarrassing, difficult, controversial topics. What type of questions? Two types of topics you'll find always get attention. And I mean this universally, whether we're talking about in movies, whether we're talking about when talking about history, whether we're talking about politics, whether we're talking about religion, there are two topics that always get attention. What are they? Sex and violence. Sex and violence. You'll always find that anything that has to do with gender and anything that has to do with violence will get the most attention. And so where are we attacked? No surprise. What are your issues about gender and the way people, the sisters dress and this and that? Anything that has to do with gender, you'll find that there's the focus. And then, of course, violence when it comes to terror, this, that, warfare, etc. So I believe that in order to help you, to help this community defend yourselves, I must periodically address controversial and uncomfortable topics. Otherwise, what is the alternative? Otherwise, our message is essentially that Islam is a mostly beautiful religion, but there are some uncomfortable parts, and we just ignore those. What is the problem with that message? What is the problem with the message of saying, look, Islam is mostly beautiful, but there are some uncomfortable parts that we just sort of sweep under the rug and ignore? You know what the problem is? If that's the case, then that's treating Islam exactly like every other religion. Every religion has some nice parts, and every religion has some awkward parts. And so, essentially we're saying, we want to be like you. تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ until you follow their path. Look, we have some awkward parts, some right parts, and let's just, you know, leave it at that. The fact of the matter is that we as Muslims, we believe that Islam is unique in that all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of it is tampered by man. Therefore, since all of it is revelation, all of it is good, and there's nothing that we should be ashamed of. The most common suggestion when it comes to anything controversial is, why don't you just keep controversies to private, small halaqas, just to a small group of people. Don't talk about it in the masses. I want us all to address this. I want us all to think about this. What is the message that we're sending if that's the way we go about things? Doing that would be an admission that there are some aspects of Islam that are for public discussion, and other parts must be privatized. There are certain aspects of Islam that have to be private, because we're what? Embarrassed about it? Do you guys see the subtle implication? There is a message behind the behavior. This leaves us open to attack, like we have some sort of weaknesses, like we have some sort of holes in our defenses. Oh, these topics can only be brought up in private. Think about this. And by the way, this isn't a far-off idea. Think about anybody, let's say a preacher, or somebody who just doesn't like Islam, somebody who wants to attack Islam. They show up, well, first of all, they go online. First thing they do is they go online. And they find all the private topics, all the controversial topics. By the way, internet's an open book. It only takes like 5-10 minutes to find negative things. So they spend just a few minutes doing their research online, finding all these controversial, these private topics, as we say. And then within a few minutes, they then come to the masjid and then mention these topics in public to all of us, not in privately, not in some small room. No, they just start speaking loudly to everybody in the masjid. And then they imagine completely embarrass us. Because why? Why would they do that? Because we've already conceded to the idea that those are private topics. You don't talk about them in public. And so what do? I'm going to come here and I'm going to mess them right up. I'm going to have a good time. I'm just going to embarrass them all. Why? Because I know how they think. This is for private discussion. This is for public. So I'm just going to, you know, go out of order. I'm just going to go there and be disruptive and watch them all scurry around because they don't know how to deal with it. Do we want to be in such a position where we are open to attack, where we are so easily embarrassed? No, I think that there is an alternative. Their plan wouldn't work if we as a masjid have a communal maturity. We have a communal maturity to say what? To say, oh, that's your objection? Well, alhamdulillah, our imam addressed that thoroughly last week. It was recorded, it was uploaded, so we'll send you the link. Have a nice day. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice that, I'm not saying every khutbah has to be controversial, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, wouldn't it be nice if we as a community could handle controversial topics so that everybody felt comfortable, that anything that comes up, we can deal with that. If you don't think this is possible, if you don't think that it could happen, let me inform you, it already has happened, and it will continue to happen. We've had preachers come here before, making accusations, saying that we worship the devil or I don't know what, making all sorts of accusations towards Islam, meanwhile, having a phone recording our reactions. It's happened. The doors are wide open. Anybody can walk in. It's a public place. Nobody can stop them. So, they want to see. What if I say this in front of all of them? Can they respond? Let's record their reaction. Let's see if we can embarrass them. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this masjid is very beautiful. And we're trying to make it nicer and nicer all the time. Trying to make sure that it's bigger and accommodates more people. The nicer we make this masjid, the more families move to it. The more Muslims come here. The bigger our numbers grow. The more converts we get, inshallah ta'ala. The more attention we'll get. But attention is both good and bad. We have to remember this. The more attention you draw with the big, beautiful minarets, right? White, shiny masjid, golden domes. This gets attention. Good attention, but also bad attention. We have to keep that in mind. We know that in any sport, the champ always gets the most haters. Everybody wants to get the guy on top. So if you're a Muslim, it's because you know Islam is the best. And if you know Islam is the best, then you should know that people are going to take shots at you. So you have to be responsible and say, can we handle uncomfortable? Do we have the communal maturity to handle uncomfortable topics in such a way that it is embraced and that we learn and that we benefit and we grow together? I'm not saying mistakes can't be made. I'm not saying I'm infallible. But can we move forward and grow together? These types of attacks, attacking controversial issues, are nothing new. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, this happened all the way since then. Subhanallah. We know that Salman al-Farisi was once asked by certain mushrikeen, some of the polytheists, "Inni ara sahibakum yu'allimukum hatta yu'allimukum al-khira'ah." They say, "I heard that your friend," they wouldn't call him the Prophet ﷺ, they say, "I heard that your friend, he teaches you everything, he teaches you even how to go to the bathroom." He didn't say bathroom. They said, to defecate, but in a bad word. I think we all know what I'm talking about. He even teaches you that? So what are they trying to do? Embarrass. What is his response? قَالَ أَجَلْ. He goes, yeah, absolutely. No embarrassment whatsoever. Yeah, absolutely. Teaches us how to relieve ourselves. إِنَّهُ نَهَانَا أَنْ يَسْتَنْجِيَ أَحَدُنَا بِيَمِينِهِ. He said, don't clean yourself with your right hand. Why? I mean, subhanAllah, I remember there was once a Muslim that thought he was so modern. Just a side point. He thought he was so modern. And he thought he was so clever. And I said, you know, you're supposed to eat with the right. He said, no, I eat with the left. I said, no, but you go to the bathroom with the left hand. He goes, no, I use my right hand. So he thought he was clever, like I could just switch everything. I could do whatever I want. I said, oh yeah, what hand do you shake hands with? He got stuck. Nobody shakes hands with their left. And I said, yeah, exactly. So number one, you're not so clever. And number two, never shake my hand again. So subhanAllah, we should. Anyway, so the hadith goes on. Oh, يَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ Don't face the qibla. وَنَهَا عَنِ الرَّوْثِ وَالْعِظَامِ Don't clean yourself with either dung, like dried dung, or bones. وَقَالَ لَا يَسْتَنْجِي أَحَدُكُمْ بِدُونِ ثَلَاثَ أَحْجَارٍ Don't wipe yourself except with anything less than three rocks. You know, not just one time or two times, it has to be three or more. So he goes into the whole fiqh of istinja. He goes into the whole fiqh of going to the bathroom. Why? Because he's completely proud. Oh, you're trying to embarrass me? It's not going to work like that. You want to know the fiqh? No problem. We go like this, 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 and we're perfectly clean, and I'm very happy about it. Do you have any other questions? SubhanAllah, this is the type of maturity that we want as believers. From the time of the Sahaba till now, we should have the comfort of being proud of whatever topic comes up and say, yes, this is wahi min Allah. As long as it is revelation, that means it's good. And if it's good, then I talk about it. I don't care if the whole world is watching. I'm happy about it. This idea that there's private, what are you embarrassed? For private use? What type of weakness is this? We know our children live in the information age, raised with the internet, right? Everything is available immediately, instantaneously. Anybody can find out any sort of controversies of Islam within just a few minutes. So imagine our kids hearing their parents saying what? I don't like that imam, not me or anybody else, it doesn't matter, I'm not trying to make it personal, but just imagine. Imagine somebody saying, I don't like so-and-so imam, why? Because he talks about controversial topics in public. Doesn't he know that those topics cannot be mentioned in public? Imagine the kids hearing that. Imagine hearing the parents at dinner time having that conversation. So now, the kid knows that anybody with internet, literally everyone, can expose them and embarrass them by mentioning the unmentionable topics in a public setting. So therefore, what do they do? What is the only natural conclusion of that young child? Never publicize your Islam. That kid's only being logical. They're saying, well, if I live in the West, which is mostly non-Muslim, if everybody has the information age, that means everybody's capable of exposing me. Mom and Dad just said it. There are certain things that are unmentionable. That means I'm exposed. There's a target on my back. Everybody knows my weak spots. So what do? Don't say salamu alaykum in public. Don't pray in public. Right? Hide your deen. Don't wear the hijab, don't grow your beard, don't have any of the sha'air, any of the symbols or any sort of public display of your deen. Never stand out, never stand up, never speak out, never mention your Islam. Always keep it private. Why? SubhanAllah. Is it possible that it's our own parents who are saying, look, Islam is beautiful, but why can't the imam just talk about nice things, prayer and dua and charity, this and that? So then they think, okay, oh, there's a bunch of weak spots. I get it. Okay, I better hide this. Because now I know, everybody knows that I have weak spots. Even my parents know it, and they're good Muslims. They're the best. Can you imagine? Do we see the seeds that we're planting in our kids' heads unknowingly? So what is the solution? Well, my job is to show you that there's no fear to be had. We can talk about all the controversial topics in public. Let me be your imam. That's what an imam means. It's a leader. So let me lead you and show you that I can talk about whatever we need to talk about in the public setting. Anybody can walk in, hear what we have to say. We can put it online. We're not afraid of nothing. When that confidence settles into your kids, they realize, SubhanAllah, I can be Muslim in public because there's nothing to be afraid of. Stopping conversations like this, stopping khutbas of this nature, what is it doing? Stopping from controversy, it's similar to expecting, you know, not talking about controversy in public, but at the same time expecting me to guide your kids is like asking a surgeon, I need you to operate on my kid and fix him, but I really don't like cutting. SubhanAllah, what do you think surgery is? It's yes, cuts are uncomfortable. Yes, controversial topics are uncomfortable, but you need to get through the uncomfortable part to actually get to the solution. The Prophet ﷺ said what? سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَفُ وَالْعَافِيَ فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْطَ بَعْدَ الْيَقِينِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah for forgiveness and health, for indeed, nobody has been given anything after yaqeen, after certainty, than sound health. So SubhanAllah, this beautiful hadith is telling us what we want to, what are some of the best things to have. Unshakable faith, al-yaqeen. Forgiveness for your sins, asking Allah al-afu, and then of course, having good health and being an afiyah also means free from turbulations, free from fitna, free from the ability of putting people putting doubts in your iman. Having afiyah also means no fitna, that you're not, you have certainty in your deen. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who have yaqeen, inshallah. I'll continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam seem kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. In a nearby high school, not too far from here, there was a teacher who decided that they were going to teach the three Abrahamic religions to kids that are of 13 years old. And very few Muslims in the class, I think almost no Muslims in the class except for this one sister, young sister, 13 years old. And the way that this teacher decided to teach the three Abrahamic religions was to say, okay, since this is a kids class, this is an introductory class, when it comes to Judaism, I'll talk about the beliefs and practices, mashallah, sounds good. When it comes to Christianity, we'll talk about beliefs and practices, mashallah, sounds good. And then when it comes to Islam, we're going to only talk about terrorism, 9/11, and women being refugees, fleeing from oppressive countries because, you know, they're forced to wear the hijab and et cetera. You see, and so alhamdulillah, the father contacted us and said, this is insane, and this, I can't believe this is happening. You're essentially picking on a kid and making it so awkward in the classroom because now the other kids are talking to each other saying, is she dangerous and this and that? And you can imagine, you're 13 years old. You know, if you're going to pick on somebody, pick on an adult, subhanAllah. So anyway, I spoke to the principal and addressed this issue. And alhamdulillah, they're looking into it. And if they don't look into it well enough, then we're going to contact different people, higher up people, people that can deal with this on a legal level if push comes to shove. But it is very sad and it is very heartbreaking. That and by the way, this is nothing, as sad and as heartbreaking as it is, we should not be surprised. This is my point. There's nothing shocking about this. There's nothing surprising about this at all. And so they're kind of, oh yeah, we'll deal with it and so forth. And anyway, we'll see how it goes, inshallah ta'ala. But I'm just trying to let you know that this is the reality. They're not going to be balanced in their approach. I mean, can you imagine teaching? I wouldn't even do that at Iman school. It would be embarrassing to say, oh, I'm going to teach Christianity 101. I'm just going to teach the basics. I'm going to talk about the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition. I'm going to talk about burning witches. I'm going to talk about justifying slavery through the Bible. Oh, and I'm going to talk about those scam artists that you find on television that say, I'll cure your cancer if you buy my vial of holy water for $99.99. Like, that's not introduction to Christianity. Anybody can go through a long history and say, oh, let's find all the ugly parts, and then just say that's the religion. Anybody with, subhanAllah, any intellect knows that that's completely unfair. And yet, subhanAllah, this is the way it seems to be being painted. And so yes, alhamdulillah, I spoke with the principal, and I said, listen, if I can meet with this teacher, I can meet with you, and I can meet with the whole class. If you want to talk about any tough questions, that's what I'm for, not her. Give me a break. It's very unfair to put her on a spot like that. But I want you guys to imagine a scenario. I want you to imagine a scenario that if the principal did accept, theoretically, and said, yes, you know what, Imam, you come to the school, and you talk about these controversial issues. Imagine if I do, I go, and I speak about it, and I get a warmer welcome, and it's easier for me to talk about controversy there than it is over here. Think about that. Think about how awkward that would be. So I hope we realize that hiding, just trying to blend in, just trying to have a low profile, it's not realistic. It's not the way the world works. We have to be able to address our controversies. Remember that you don't have to be a perfect Muslim to be proud that you are one. I'll say that again. You don't have to be a perfect Muslim to be proud that you are one. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are proud of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are not afraid of controversy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who recognize that this Islam began as something strange, and it's going to go back to as something strange, but glad tidings to the stranger, because it's only the strangers that address the real problems of society. May Allah Ta'ala give us knowledge and strength. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who can be patient with one another as we discuss controversies and perhaps get on each other's nerves. That's okay, it's part of the growth process. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for our weaknesses. May Allah Ta'ala always make us keep in mind the hadith, مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, that whoever imitates a people, then he's like them. We don't want to imitate anybody except who? The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We want to be amongst the believers. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.